Today we're going to be thinking about the 96th Psalm. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The 96th Psalm is a sublime psalm of worship. The psalmist begins by saying, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. There is a call here that goes out not just to the ancient Jewish people, but there is a call that goes out to the whole world to praise God, to sing a new song to the Lord. In many ways, the verse 9 epitomizes the spirit of worship that should be alive within the people of God as they come before God. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Notice that there is an emphasis here upon all the earth. The duty of the whole world to praise God. But in our praises we need to worship him. The word worship comes from an old English word, an old Anglo-Saxon word which means worth. Worth-ship. We give God his worth. And this is what it is to worship God, to think about what God is worth. Think about his power. Think about his glory. Think about his majesty. The psalmist talks about the attributes of God here in the verse 6. Honour and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. In verse 4 he said, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. In verse 5 he says, the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. So we are coming before a God who made all things, a God who controls all things, a God who is majestic, a God who is alone in the whole universe, the one and only God. And as we come to worship him, we need to give him his worth. Think about his power, his glory, his dominion. The Hebrew word translated worship here, however, has a slightly different meaning. It means to fall prostrate before God. To come before God, to bury your head into the dust. To recognize that we are but dust and ashes in his presence. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Here is an acknowledgement that God is a holy God, that he dwells in a light that cannot be approached. He dwells in a blazing glory of holiness. And here we are, a sinful people, and we are coming before him. We need a fear of God, don't we? That is what is wrong with society today. People do not fear God. Men and women live their lives as if there is a God who does not exist. A God who does not see, a God who does not care. And yet when they suffer, and they go through dark times, when they come to die, they start to think about God. When throughout all of their lives they have lived as if he was never there. Oh, don't you do that. You remember there is a great God in heaven, a God who sees all things. We need to learn to worship him. We need to give our lives to him. Tell me, have you given your life to the Lord? The only way to worship God is to acknowledge your sinfulness first, and to acknowledge that this God of glory is a God of love, that he sent his Son to die for you. It is to resign yourself to the fact that you deserve hell, but that Christ took that hell for you in the cross. And when you trust him, you receive eternal life. Will you put your faith in Christ today? Worship God by coming to him as a poor sinner and then entering his family through faith alone. Whenever the psalmist was writing these words, however, he talked about singing unto the Lord a new song. A new song. The writer of the book of Revelation, John, the beloved apostle, certainly had this in mind whenever he talked about the new song that would be sung in the book of Revelation. And the new song in the book of Revelation certainly throws a searchlight upon the meaning of this new song in the Psalm 96. In the verse 8, we are told, Revelation 5 verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. The new song sung by the people in heaven in the book of Revelation glorified the God of redemption. He has redeemed, he has purchased a people for himself by the blood of his Son out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And this is what the new song is all about. And this new song certainly anticipates the coming Christ, the coming Saviour, the one who would die for us on the cross. This is the best song of all. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Are you redeemed today? I've said you're going to worship God when you give your life to Christ. And when you give your life to Christ, you become a redeemed person. A redeemed person is one who has been purchased. One who has been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, come and enjoy the merits of Christ's blood. At the end of the psalm, the psalmist calls upon the whole world to anticipate an event that takes us beyond the cross and beyond the resurrection, an event that has not yet occurred. Christianity is based upon a number of facts, facts that are past, but also facts that are future. And future facts, which are known as prophecies, are facts nonetheless, because they are grounded upon the Word of God. And in the verse 11, the psalmist says, Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. Let the world be ready. This is what the psalmist is saying. Let the world be ready, for the Lord cometh. Behold, he cometh. He cometh in judgment, he cometh with truth. He cometh to set up his throne. Christ is coming again. He came once into the world to redeem us, but he will come again as the judge. Therefore, as we praise this God, we acknowledge that there is coming a day when he will return to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the man at his right hand, his only begotten Son. Are you prepared for this? Acknowledge God today in your life. Turn your eyes to him. Find life in him. Will you do this? I pray that you will. I thank you so much for listening.